Rodgers with the play fake now, rolls to his right, sets deep in the pocket, loads it up, home run ball. He's got Jordy Nelson there. Nelson to the goal line with the ball. Touchdown, Packers. An onside kick attempt by Green Bay, and it's going to be fielded at the 45-yard line, and this is going to be the Packers football. Horton's in the shotgun, McGahee to his right, throws left, pass is going to be caught by Decker, Decker into the end zone, and Denver's got a touchdown. Rodgers fakes the draw, looks to the end zone, pass is going to be caught, and that is another Green Bay touchdown.
That's embarrassing, I think, you know, as a defensive player, you never want to see that, but the good thing about the NFL, you always get a chance to redeem yourself real quick, so we got to get ready for San Diego.
In broadcast highlights, courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA, and you also heard from defensive end Elvis Dumervil inside the visiting team locker room in Lambeau Field Sunday afternoon. Pardon for the slight delay in getting the show started today. As you know, Sports Authority Field at Mile High is also hosting the Bonfies Blood Center Drive for Life. Team Media is taking care of giving that event the coverage it deserves. And welcome to Elway Live here on DenverBroncos.com. I'm Chris Hall, joined by Executive Vice President of Football Operations, John Elway. Broncos fall to 1-3 after losing to the Packers 49-23 on what was just a gorgeous afternoon in northern Wisconsin. And John, in a venue that just kind of oozes with history, anyone who watched the Broncos this week saw some history. Packers QB Aaron Rodgers, he threw for 400 yards, he threw for four scores, he ran for two more. Nobody in the history of the league has had an afternoon quite like that. Let's just start there. You know the position and can respect what Rodgers did and, you know, how he's playing so far this season.
Well, he's really been, you know, I think what happened is he got hot at the end of last year, as the Packers did when they, you know, they barely made the playoffs as a wild card, and then he got tremendously hot in the playoffs, ended up being the MVP in the Super Bowl last year, and then he's really just continued into this year in the first four games, and we can't aside the epitome of it all and the fact that I'm not sure a quarterback could have a better day than Aaron had on Sunday. He's a guy with that great athletic ability, tremendous accuracy when he throws the football, and I think if for those who watch the football game saw that every ball that he threw hit him right on the numbers, and they do such a great job of running with the ball after they catch it, but it's mainly because Aaron does such a good job of putting it in such a catchable area to where they can do some things after it. So, you know, and then we saw his mobility, athletic ability, and his ability to move around, having the two touchdown runs when we dropped off in man coverage. You saw the took advantage of the coverage we're in and was able to run two up the middle for touchdowns. And so I think that you saw and we saw, you know, a football game on Sunday where we played a quarterback that was near flawless.
It's just, it's experience, it's having good parts around you, it's being well coached. Coach Fox talked about this team got to see up close what a defending Super Bowl champion team looks like. That's where this team wants to get to. They saw it up close, and you see every element kind of come together, and they did what, again, what they're doing to a lot of teams so far this year, what a really good football team looks like right now.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think when you said it, you hit it on the nose. Not only is Aaron a great quarterback, but he's comfortable in the system. He's been in the system now for, I think, 7 years, this year being his fourth year as a starter. You know, Donald Driver and the people that he has, Finley around him, they have great athletes around him that have a great feel for the offense. And then, you know, Mike McCarthy has done a tremendous job of offensively getting a good feel, finding good matchups. You know, they expose the you know, places where they have you know, the advantage. And so it's a tremendously run offense by a bunch of good coaches and good football players. And you know, I think that they're a football team, as you said, that is defending world champions, and we saw why on Sunday. And you know, we plan on getting back there sooner than later, but it's going to take some time.
You're listening to Elway Live, and just like the first two shows, we will be taking your questions from Twitter. Let's start right away, John, with a question from Brent Boyer. He wants to know, what changes can this team make on defense to maybe prevent some of the big plays that Aaron Rodgers in that Packers offense made on Sunday?
Well, number one is play somebody other than Aaron Rodgers, I think, is a key thing. I mean, when you talk about an offense that can pick you apart, he understands what's coming with the formations they give you. They really create those matchups. But I think, you know, defensively, we just got to continue to work on our techniques and really get it down and play the defenses that meant the way they were supposed to be played, and play the defenses with the techniques that are meant to be played. And because I think if you do that, that's you have a better chance to be successful on the defensive side. Now, I also like to say that, you know, obviously this is a defense that everybody's new. We did not have the offseason. And so guys are really starting to get a feel for this defense. And the more we play, the more we practice, the better feel the defensive guys are going to get for this defense. Because a lot of times, you know, you saw earlier even in the Raider game, we had some difficulty at times getting lined up. And that just comes with inexperience of knowing the defensive system. So we're continuing to get better with that. And the more we get used to it, the more we practice it, the more we can react within the defense and be more aware to hopefully create some turnovers, but also stop those big plays as he's talking about.
Yeah, and the Packers also last year played a few more football teams together, ending in a Super Bowl win. All felt pretty comfortable probably together when they came back from the lockout. You're listening to Elway Live. We'll take a lot more of your questions from Twitter right after a short break. McGahee patiently picks a crease, and McGahee's free, 35-30. McGahee with a stiff arm inside the 25. McGahee run out of bounds inside the Packer 20. Rodgers with two backs behind him under center, drops to throw, tries to set up a screen. He's going to be hitting down inside the 20-yard line, and guess who? Von Miller, his third sack of his rookie season. Four-man rush. Rodgers steps up, avoids Von Miller, but can't. He almost got loose, but Miller was there. That will be his second sack of the game.
We've got a lot of young players out there right now, and you know, they're getting better. I mean, Von Miller, you know, I think is as bright a spot as there is in the whole National Football League, but nobody talks about that.
Once again, broadcast highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. Also heard from head coach John Fox. Welcome back to Elway Live. Want to spend some time now talking about Willis McGahee in the run game, John. And in the locker room after the game, Kyle Orton said he was proud of how this line played, said it was the best game they've had so far this season. And we'll also get to your questions in just a moment. We'll hit on that. But want to start this segment, John, talking about something we've hit on every week so far, and it's because he keeps making plays and giving us reasons to bring him up. That's Von Miller. Two more sacks Sunday, four more for the year. Young guys leading the team in that category. I know having Elvis Dumervil back will draw some attention away now, but how's he doing it?
You know, I think that it's not really a surprise. I think when we looked at Von this offseason going into the draft, and we looked at his ability and his quickness, athletic ability, ability to rush the passer, and just playmaking ability. I think that, he drafted himself for us, and so we're thrilled to have him. All he's doing is carrying that on, and he's doing a tremendous job without having an offseason, not having a feel for this defense, plus also putting him in the Sam linebacker position where he's playing in some space, playing at the second level on the defense. And so he's done a good job adjusting there. Obviously, you know, he's got a long way to go, but he's really he's done a good job of adjusting to really a new position. But then when he puts his hand down in the dirt, You know, as good as there is when it comes down to rushing the passer. As you said, it's going to help to have Elvis back. And the more pressure we can get help from the inside, we're going to just get a better pass rushing. So, he's just doing a tremendous job. He's a great guy in the locker room. He's all ears. You know, he's the perfect rookie in the fact that he wants to learn. And everybody enjoys him. So, we're glad to have him on this football team.
You spent Sundays trying to avoid guys like Vaughn, trying to avoid guys like Elvis. Vaughn's learning this position on the fly. How impressive is that?
And I think that's, you know, and that's really the encouraging thing. If we look at, you know, he's fifth in the league in sacks with 4 sacks, and I think he's leading all rookies with sacks. But I think when you look at that, and then you look at his upside because of his athletic ability, his speed to strength coming off the edge, and his ability to run around the edge, ability to go upfield and come underneath. And so, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for Vaughn. And the good thing about him is he wants to continue to get better. So we think that we're just scratching the surface with Vaughn.
Well, Craig Stell, he liked the pick. He sent us a question. He knows Miller's proven to be a great pick, but Craig wants to know what can this defense do to kind of sew up the interior, sew up the inside this season?
Well, I mean, I think that, it's always the same. You know, and I think Vaughn, as we said, we're 4 games into this thing, and so we still have a long way to go. Obviously, I think defensively we continue to work within the scheme. If you look at it, we've done a tremendous job against the run game. I think when you look at what we've done, and we started slow against the Raiders, but, probably faced the best back in the league in Darren McFadden. And so, but the last 3 games done a real good job of sewing up that the running game. And I think, obviously, you lose an all-pro top 5 defensive back in Champ Bailey for 2 weeks, that's going to affect you, because now all of a sudden, you're instead of having a Champ Bailey, your third guy is in the lineup and your third cover guy is in the lineup. And so it's going to help tremendously to get Champ back. We'll continue. I think Elvis is going to be much improved. If you think about it, Elvis has played in 1 football game in really 1.25 years because he missed all last year. And, DJ Williams is coming back after not playing at all during really the preseason and the first 3 games of the year. And so they're just going to continue to get better. And I think that's the idea of everywhere on that defense, as well as on our football team, is that week by week continue to show improvement and, continue to get better.
Let's go from stopping the run to running it. Can you see on film, when you've watched each game this year, how much every 60 minutes kind of helps this offensive line gel and lead to those holes that Willis is seeing and getting through?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the production over the first 4 weeks, we struggled against the Raiders, and then we rushed for over 100 yards against the Bengals, and then we struggled a little bit down in Tennessee, but did a better job against the top-rated defense. And then we go to Green Bay, rush for over 100. Willis McGahee has 103 yards rushing. Going into the game, Green Bay was #1 in the league against the rush, giving up 55 yards a game. And so you look at an offensive line is like any other unit. It takes a while to gel. I think with Orlando coming in at right tackle, they're getting used to him. Cooper's getting used to work with him, who's on O's left side. And plus, O is a rookie, and he's really shown improvement over the first 4 weeks. And so I think that we've seen the improvement. The protection's been a lot better, and they're all getting comfortable with the running game. It's a different running game, different running scheme than we had last year also. And so, again, it's getting into their comfort zone, and we're seeing a lot of improvement there in the offensive line.
If you watched the game Sunday, you saw that Coach Fox mentioned this during his press conference on Monday. There was a play where Tim Tebow comes in. It was scripted in the first 15 plays. This next question comes from Keith Romero. And, John, he's wondering, does these designs, when Tebow comes in, do these give him an opportunity to run and to pass the ball? What are kind of his options?
They do, and I think, obviously you do, and I think that we ran that play, and there was a run pass option on that play, and we didn't get to the pass option. Tim decided to stay with the run, and so that play was a run pass option for Timmy, and he decided to go with the run. And so, but I think that the bottom line is, when we talk about Tim Tebow, is we want to make sure that we get him in the football game to where he can help us win football games. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win football games, show improvement. And, a lot of times you got to get out of the funk of losing. Obviously, we've struggled this year, but 1-4, but we've been in a lot of football games. Really, this Green Bay game is the first one that we really weren't in the second half. But we just got to continue to do things to try to win football games. And the offensive staff and Coach Fox are going to do everything they can to try to take advantage of Tim Tebow's football ability to help us win football games.
And Brian Chan, he also sent in a question. Brian, thank you. This that may answer his question, but I think he is also asking, what would you say then, John, to encourage the fans about his role when he comes in, like he did against Green Bay? And do you think that the fans should maybe be a little bit more patient, a little more supportive?
Well, I'm not going to tell the fans what they should or shouldn't be. I just know from within this building and what our plan is our plan is to get back to world championship caliber football team, and that's not done overnight. And so everybody's working their tail off to take it one step at a time. You can't get there overnight. We'd like to. But obviously, we have to be patient in the strides that we take, make the right decisions. There's not a lot we can do during the season. And so we're going to continue to concentrate on the guys that we have right now, is to try to get every football player, every 53 guys on that team, is to improve each one of those players, which in the long run improves us as a football team. But the thing that I don't want to get confused is the fact that we're trying to win football games here, and I think that that is our goal.
And it takes with building with some good draft classes, something we'll hit on in the next segment. Thanks so much for sending in your questions. Not too late to get your question in. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. We'll be back right after a short break.
Play fake, great protection. Kyle sets and throws. He wants Decker. Decker adjusts to make the catch, and that is a Denver touchdown. He was looking over his right shoulder. The ball was in the air. He spun around, caught the ball over his left shoulder. He beat Morgan Burnett on the play. A 33-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Orton to Eric Decker.
We knew it was going to be a battle, and that we couldn't have turnovers to win a game. And if you want to play at that level, you can't make mistakes like that.
You know, it was a very good football team we played yesterday. They were, working on all cylinders, and particularly offensively. And, I thought that was a big factor in the game, as well as, not quite being as detailed as we need to be to match up against an offense that's that well oiled.
Welcome back to Elway Live broadcast highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. And you also heard from Eric Decker and John Fox. John, we ended that previous segment talking about the draft class. We've talked a lot about Raheem Moore these first couple of weeks. We've talked about Von Miller. Let's talk about Orlando Franklin and what he's done so far through four games, also learning a new position at this level on the fly without those OTAs and passing camps and mini camps that you've touched on that all the rookies so far have had to learn by.
I mean, Orlando's really done well. I mean, obviously came into camp and, first time with no off season, as we've talked about so many times, but he's really come in and he's taken strides day in and day out. And I think that, Orlando played his best game last week, and he was, happened to go against Clay Matthews, who was a Pro Bowler and a big part of the Green Bay defense and a very good football player. And Orlando did a real good job. And so, he's just going to continue to get better and better. He's a big guy with the right attitude wants to win football games, and a guy that, fits into what we're trying to do with the Denver Broncos as far as personality and what he's about. So we're excited about Orlando.
A lot of tackles came out in this draft class. There's the guy up the road, Nate Solder. Costanzo. There's guys that you got to see here in your first time going through looking at eligible draft picks. What with Orlando kind of jumped out?
Well, I mean, I think that the way we looked at Orlando was not only his athletic ability at 320 pounds, the way he could move his feet. You know, he played a left tackle in college, which we thought he could move over and play right tackle, but also, you know, he has the ability and the quickness to be able to play guard. So he's got some flex, which is always encouraging when you look at offensive linemen about their ability to play two different positions. And I think his mentality, he was a guy that had a mean streak. And as a guy that was competitive and played hard, and you could see the mean streak when he played. And I think those are the type of guys that you want on your football team.
Listening to Elway Live, we're answering your questions sent in through Twitter. You can just include the hashtag Elway Live. Peter wants to know, John, how would you grade the first quarter of this season? The team's 1-3, but is the level of competition where you expected to be in this process?
Well, I mean, I think that you always, you know, when you go into a football season, no matter what the prognosticators think, I think that, you know, as a player or even as coaches in the front office, is that, you know, you look to try to win every football game. And I think that, you know, I think we're probably disappointed to be 1-3. Obviously, if you go back and you can change, other than last week, you know, out of the first three, we changed a couple plays there. We could have been 3-1. But could-as and should-as and all those type of things don't work in the NFL. And so we got to work from those mistakes that we've made. We've got to do a much better job with turnovers. Obviously, the turnover battle, we've lost, every game except we tied one turnover battle with Cincinnati. We won that football game. And so turnovers are so important in this league, and we've just got to take better care of the football and try to create some more on the defensive side.
Let's look at big picture now. Jack Jackson's wondering what the player personnel staff is doing right now during this time of the year, and how do you guys kind of prepare for the next 4, 6, 12 months as you get ready for February and the combine? Kind of what's going on behind
the scenes? Well, right now, I think the there's two different departments. Obviously, the college department is out on the road, and they're out scouting all the college games right now and preparing those and getting those films ready for to come back. And, you know, once we get halfway through the college season, then they can start grading the kids coming out of college. And then we have a pro staff who's busy working on unrestricted free agents that are on the board right now and grading the unrestricted free agents so that when we get to next, after the season's over, we start sitting down as a whole staff and going through the free agents. So we're out there looking at players that hopefully, you know, whether it be in the unrestricted free agent market or in the draft. And so that process is already going on, and we'll continue to work on those until, free agency opens on March 1 and then the draft, which is next April. So that process is all in order. And then obviously we look at the waiver wire every day to see if there's somebody on the wire that can come in and help us out. We have a short list at every position in case we were to have injuries, but we're also looking for areas for guys that we think can come in and help us win right now.
What's it like for you, John, kind of juggling the time, doing all of these things you just mentioned? And also, I know you watch practice. You're always in key with what the guys in the building are doing, ready to get ready for each game each week. How are you making that?
You know, I'm enjoying it. I mean, that's why I got back into it, because I love to be around the game, and I enjoy the Denver Broncos, and love the Denver Broncos, what they're about. And obviously, in the things that we've been going through over the last couple of years, it's putting together a plan to try to get us on the right track to get us back to where all the fans want us to be, and that's to be competitive and in the playoffs as well as the Super Bowl. And so, you know, I continue to work on that day in and day out, obviously knowing that there's only so much we can do at certain times, and that's, all we can do. And obviously everybody'd like to snap their fingers and have it turned around right now, but we're going to work the process and be patient with it, and we got to continue to find the best football players that we can for this organization and be very good in free agency and also be very good in the draft. And so it's a process, that in the front office that we're going through on the personnel side, and then the coaching staff obviously is doing everything they can to figure out ways to win football games.
Well, four games down, 12 more to go. Steven Hildreth Jr. is wondering, what sort of improvements do you personally and the team and the guys down the hall, what do you guys think you have in mind for the next three quarters of the season to kind of go off of what this team, how they have improved from week one to week four?
Well, and I think the one thing about the game of football, especially, in the coach's mind, is that obviously you have things in your mind that you'd like to see happen, or if this happens, we're going to do this, and try to create a plan. But you really can't do that because it's really a week-by-week business, and to see how we're going, we can't look in a crystal ball and say, okay, after week 12, if we're here, we're going to do that. If we're here, we're going to do this. And so it's really something that you have to, in the back of your mind, have different plans, but you really have to wait until it plays itself out. And I think that's why we're in the mindset that we're going to take it one week at a time and make the best decision that we can for each week, because week 12 means nothing to us right now. Now that we're going into week 5, week 12 means nothing to us, and I couldn't even tell you who we play. So that's why we take it one week at a time and let this whole thing play out.
Well, with that in mind, this week the Broncos play the Chargers. Craig Gary Phillips, who included in his question that he's keeping the faith, is wondering, how will this team's younger D prepare for a guy like Phillip Rivers after a game last week against Aaron Rodgers?
Well, we're going to prepare the best we can. It's going to help us get Champ back, and we've got to learn from the mistakes that we made against Green Bay and do a better job on playing our techniques within the defense, and use last week as a learning experience and try to get better within the concepts of the defense. And so there's not every right answer, and the bottom line is it's a matter of being able to comprehend what we didn't do well last week and turn back and go into practice, work hard in practice, and try to improve on the mistakes that we made. And if we do that, then we have a chance to slow Phillip Rivers down, who is a very good quarterback, and they make a lot of big plays, and they've, I think they're number one in the league in third down conversion. So we're going to really have to concentrate on getting them off the field in third down situations.
Craig, good question. Thanks for sending it in. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. Last segment coming up. We're back after a short break.
Backfield for Aaron Rodgers. Three-man rush. Rodgers pumps once, now throws, pass caught, touchdown. And that is Donald Driver.
We had one draft class. We didn't go out and get a lot of big-name free agents. I look at our draft class after four games, and, I think we have some guys that are going to help us moving forward. I can't define that yet because we're only four games into a 16-game schedule, but I think I've been encouraged by how a lot of those guys have played.
Welcome back to Elway Live. Thanks again for sending in your questions. Again, this show is for the fans. We got a lot of submissions this week, and we do appreciate it. This is our last segment for this week. And, John, the news came out that a couple guys you used to play with might be wearing that same coat you pull out every once in a while, that Canton Hall of Fame cut. And
I actually put it on and go to the mall.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I'm joking.
There you go. Just heard that here. The question is from Nathan Jones saying, hey, do you think that TD and or Rod will be joining you in the halls of Canton this year? A couple other guys on that list, Steve Atwater, Carl Medley.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing is we're getting a lot more guys on that list, and I think it's encouraging for Bronco fans now that with Zim in and Shannon Sharp, I think the door's been broken down a little bit, and so there's a lot more recognition for the guys that play up here in the Mile High City. And so, TD, obviously, without him, we wouldn't have won two Super Bowls. I mean, he was a guy that was dynamic, and unfortunately, he played 7 or 8 years, and I think that's the only thing that's working against him, and the fact that, he's a guy that's one of three guys that averaged 100 yards per game in his career, and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, because I think when you look at the impact that he had, and sometimes not so much the longevity, but the impact, I'm not sure for the period in which Terrell was in the league that he had more impact on a team than any other player ever has. And so, and then Rod, he had, I think, 11th all-time in receiving yards and a big part of our Super Bowl years. But he had the longevity. And so, there's a lot of guys in that Hall of Fame that are there that I think Rod Smith is a better football player in, and that's why he deserves to be in there.
Do you remember that process when the list came out until you finally were giving that induction speech?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was something that until it really – you go through the process, it really doesn't hit home. And, I think that to me, the Hall of Fame was always something that came along, and it really comes along as a player because of the guys that you played with. And because football, to me, the Hall of Fame is a great honor for a football player, but it's not the honor or the pleasure of playing on a Super Bowl team, because really Super Bowl teams and winning Super Bowls which gets you in the Hall of Fame, and it's nice to have those individual honors like that, but to me it doesn't stack up to those Super Bowl wins, but it is still quite an honor. I'm not trying to downplay the honor, because it's a tremendous honor, especially with the guys that are in that in the Hall and the names are in there. It's an honor for me to be a part of it.
Both recognitions are held in high regard, and as you said, often go hand in hand. John, thanks again for the time this week. This has been Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. The Broncos are home this week against the division again, San Diego Chargers. We'll be back here next Tuesday before getting ready for the bye. Thanks for listening.